Welcome. Welcome, praise the Lord. Good to have you today at the Living Savior Church. Praise God. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies and some information for you.
I do. Okay. I've had prayers answered, and I know this one will be as well. Will you please agree with me for complete healing of an abscessed tooth? We wrote back, teeth problems have to do with what you are saying or thinking. If it's on the right side, it's against a man. If it's on the left side, it's against a woman. Repent of all sin and walk in love and stop talking about anybody. No evil speaking. We have prayed and it is done. Praise the Lord. He wrote back, no, it's a girl. Liz, thank you for your prayers and feedback. Already miraculously better. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So her tooth was better immediately. All right. This lady came to Baltimore from Florida. She said, hello, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. Just wanted to give you an update on your healing school with Pastor Thurman. I was the one who came from Fort Lauderdale. Many years ago, I graduated from Life Christian University, a school that used all the books from Kenneth Hagin and other like-minded men. It was awesome. Pastor Paul's testimony, that he's pastor of the Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Pastor Paul's testimony on his heart and his brain really touched my faith. Wow, God always causes things in our life to help others believe in eternal life. You've increased my faith to believe in those things that I must trust in the Lord to complete. That is why we must not forsake the gathering of believers. I am so excited about my healing. My son died on August 12th, and it was unexpected. He went home to be with Jesus. He had been preparing since January, and we were both cleaning up our lives. We called it rapture ready. Never thinking that the Lord would bring him home before. I know where he is, but I miss him dearly. Right after that, I noticed a spot on my face. I had it checked, and it was cancer. They wanted to go for surgery and then plastic surgery because it was very deep. I chose to go to your meeting, and I'm so happy God made the way. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Paul's testimony, he had brain cancer, and also I forget what was wrong with his heart. Oh, yeah, only a very small percent was working. But anyway, he got a new heart, and also the cancer in his brain went away. So Pastor Paul's testimony and God's healing powers changed my life once again. The evidence of my healing was amazing. I also had a cough for at least 6 weeks, and I could not stop coughing no matter what I did. That night, I slept all night without a cough and have been healed ever since.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Wait.
Wow, God is faithful. God bless you and your family. Jesus truly is a healer. Looking forward to meeting you once again in heaven with him. What an amazing time that will be. And she also asked, would you please pray now for wisdom and that I hear clearly God's great plan for my life. Thank you and his love, Diane. So she got her face healed, her cancer healed, and she also got her cough healed. So that's a praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We like that. Yeah, we like healing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I love
praise
healing.
Lord,
in fact, when I came out a while ago, Thursday I'd gone to the fair with the Rosenfels and the Smiths, and then Friday night, Yesha and Kim and I went to Kohl's and shopped for 5.5 hours. So I walked an awful lot Thursday and Friday, and I've been having cramps in my legs. And I woke up this morning with cramps and came in here with cramps in my legs and my... You know, and so everybody, I was squatted down to turn on the CD player, and everybody came over and laid hands on me, and all my cramps and pain went away.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, is all I can say. I was really tired of that.
We need more prayer for the prayer team.
Yeah, they're out working really hard.
Yes, we need to be prayed for, too. We're just like everybody else.
That's
we have
true.
To have prayer.
Oh, and one of our people that used to work here, that Rosemary McCoy, she's a massage therapist. Most people here know her. Rosemary was meeting everyone to go to the fair on Thursday, and she was by Big Tech sitting on a ledge, and she said, oh, she felt, she was sitting with Tristan, and she felt kind of sick, and all of a sudden she fell off the ledge, and she broke her femur, and she had surgery yesterday morning. She's at Baylor Hospital downtown Gaston Avenue, so keep her in the prayers, or if you want to go see her, I'm sure she's going to have to go through some kind of rehab, you know, but yeah, and we prayed a lot for her. We have been praying for her. All right, well, you know it's Christmas. All the Christmas ornaments are up, and y'all pass those out. And what it is that this is our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. And last year we raised $173,650, And we gave Christmas to 11,942 children, teen moms, elderly, 220 families, and we fed 133 homeless Christmas dinner. So the money went a long way, and it was just such a blessing to be able to. I had no idea it was going to be that much. That was just an amazing year last year. But this year has been a truly amazing year because I got their, Christ Haven sent me their wish list on October 1st, and on October 13th, we had everything bought except, so far we've raised $30,300. Clap. Yay. Clap for the money. Thank you, God. So, and we got, while we were shopping at Kohl's Friday, we got Kohl's cash of $1,090, which is good. So the only thing I have left to buy for Christ Haven, now I have other people we buy for, but I need 75 Six Flags season passes, which costs $4,800. I have $300 worth of gift cards left, and I have 7 Hawaiian Falls season passes left there that are $434, okay? So then after that, after we finish Christ Haven, then I start working on Grace, which does Colleyville, South Lake, and Grapevine, and then we do Salvation Army in Denton, and we do the Justin Community Clothes Closet, which is close to us. They really like toys, and so last year Dallas Children's Charity gave me 642 toys. They've increased their toy giving to me over the years, and so I've already contacted Mr. Whitman, and he's already telling me, yep, fill out the form, you get to go first, and I'm asking for 1,000 toys this year, so y'all be in agreement with me that he's going to give us 1,000 toys, and then praise God, and then that way, because last year, I think Justin needed about, I think, 350, 400. And if they don't give them away, they then give them to the police department who give them to, you know, children that need gifts. But, you know, it's like, it's just, it's so amazing what God does. It's so amazing how he touches people's lives. It's so amazing how he just opens doors. I mean, just different people have helped. And I'm so blessed by Kim and Candace and Ayesha. They've all been just helping me. And another lady, Marianne Bear, she's always gives every year, but she's also helping me get some NHR or NRH 20 water passes for one of the teen moms and her little boy. So there's a lot of people are out there doing things and helping me all the time, and I am so grateful that God sends the helpers because we need the helpers. So if you'd like to give anything to the Christmas benefit, just write on your offering or your check Christmas or children so that we know that it goes into that. And also one other thing, Tony Makuzowicz, most everybody here knows Tony. He's on some kind of out-of-town trip with Mary. But his daughter, Katie, is going to have heart surgery. She was born without certain tubular sclerosis in her heart. And so at 8, they did some kind of surgery. And November the 17th, she does not have a pulmonary valve. And if they say it's missing, they don't know if they took it out when she was 8. They don't really know, but she's like in her early 30s, I believe, but she's having trouble. And so we're praying they won't do surgery. She'll get a brand new heart, and it will be done. Y'all are all in agreement. Yes, Matthew 18:19. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Is that all?
That's
it. Okay. There you go. Praise the Lord. That's good. We walk by faith and not by sight. The most difficult thing in the world, I think, for the Christian church to do, in fact, the most difficult thing that I've seen by being a Christian is Christians obeying God's word. We don't obey his word. We don't believe his word. We walk by sight and not by faith. Because if we really... In fact, we were all talking the other day. We were out here looking to see how we were going to put some more stands and stuff and tables and first one thing and another so we'd have more room for more CDs and DVDs and so forth. And I said, well, what do we need? And so they're saying, well, we need a room from here to here to here to here and so on and so forth. And I said, okay. Cheryl said, how long did it take you to build that? I said, I don't know. Take a little while, no problem. So when we got through, I said, okay, are y'all ready? And they said, what? And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you made us a promise in your word that if two of us on earth agreed about anything, anything that we ask you for, you'd do it for us in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for the new building right there.
Amen.
Amen.
It's done.
Hallelujah. It's done.
So that afternoon we come back by and Kim says, well, let's go by and look at the new building. And I said, well, don't you want to give God a little bit of time to put it up, or you think it ought to be there today? She said, no, I think it ought to be there today. Let's go look at it right now. So now, that's the kind of faith we all need right there.
Hallelujah.
But it's unfortunate that we don't have that kind of faith. It's kind of like, I will have to say that here a while back, Sharon, one of our prayer warriors, she drove her car. That's when she lived over in Dallas, North Dallas. She drove her car home and parked in the driveway and left her GPS laying on a seat in the driveway. Now, it was on her property, you know, everything. And she came back out a little bit later, and the GPS was gone. Somebody had walked by there and looked at it and just reached in the window. I mean, I think even the window was down, or car door or whatever. But anyway, they stole it. Well, Sharon, being the woman of faith she is, she told the police, she called the police and told them that somebody stole her GPS. Well, they came and they looked. They said, well, ma'am, it's really your fault, because you shouldn't have left it laying there in the front seat with the windows down or the car door unlocked. She said, sir, this is my house, this is my car, it's my GPS, and I ought to be able to leave anything I want to, laying anywhere I want to, and nobody should have the right to bother it.
All right, yeah.
Now, I mean, do y'all agree with that?
Amen.
So anyway, the police officer said, well, I'm sorry, but you'll probably never get your GPS back. She said, oh, yes, I will. I will get my GPS back. She said, I'm a Christian, and I believe the Word of God. So she commanded that devil, right, said, devil, I have authority over you in the name of Jesus, and you're caught. And you're going to have to bring back my GPS in Jesus' name. I don't care how you do it, but you're going to bring it back. Now then, see, the scripture clearly says, like for instance, Mark 11:23 says, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you'll have it.
Amen.
Now then, Jesus is talking to you and me. And so instead of discussing, okay, so I lost my GPS. It's a wonder they didn't take the car, you know, but it probably had the key left in the ignition too, you know, so it's a wonder they didn't take the car and everything. You know, if we're not careful, we don't realize we speak a blessing, I mean a curse, upon everybody. But Sharon, I mean, she just stood her ground. She said, no, devil, you're bringing my GPS back. That's all there is to it. I ain't taking no for an answer. Everybody thought she was crazy. You know, I mean, the people, she said, you're bringing it back. I am not taking no for an answer. And every time she'd go by that car, she said, you devil of hell, you're going to bring that GPS back. You hear me? You're going to bring my GPS back. That was not yours. You had no legal claim to it. You're going to bring it back. Boy, in the spirit world, what's going on is what we can't see. And every time she would command that devil to do that, the Lord would say, I can see him saying, say, devil, you might as well bring Sharon's GPS back, so she ain't going to give it back. I mean, she's not going to doubt. You can do everything you can to try to get her to doubt, and he does. He'll do everything he can to keep us from believing these promises. But anyway, she said, I'm going to believe and you're going to bring it back. And so, I don't know, wasn't but a day or two or three or whatever. She had the serial number of the thing and everything. So she gave, I mean, she did do that. She recorded that somewhere. That's more than I do. I don't even do that, but we should. But anyway, she had the serial number recorded. And so some station down, not far from the police station down there where she's at, there was a hawk shop. I think it was a hawk store or something.
Pawn shop,
whatever you call that, yeah. And so anyway, this guy came in and, you know, was going to pawn this thing, and they saw the serial number and all that stuff and realized it was stolen. And so they kept it, and they contacted the police, and the police went down there and looked at it and had the same serial number on it and everything. They said, well, this is hers. And everybody would say, you know, you are a lucky woman.
Nope.
No. There you go.
Nope.
But you know, that's the way we look at it. You know, if you tell somebody a story like that, and Sharon was able to go down and get her GPS and brought it home. And there's, you know, I mean, she still has that thing, I think, to this day. But you know, the thing about it is, the authority and power that's been given to us as sons of God is really out of this world. But we don't believe it. You know, we just don't believe it. That's all there is to it. When you read a scripture like Mark 11:23 that says, whatever you say with your mouth. Now, just before Jesus did this, Jesus came by there and he saw a fig tree over there. And he's trying to tell the boys how the kingdom of God works. Now, of course, everything in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is talking about how the kingdom works. The kingdom authority that we have been given as sons and daughters, and as a rule, the church, as a rule, does not believe it. I mean, when we pray for somebody, just like Cheryl and I, when we've learned the principles of the kingdom, about the Lord gave me the keys to the kingdom and give me the power to use the keys to the kingdom, and that whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. That's a pretty awesome statement, isn't it? But it is written in God's Word. So if it's written in God's Word, then we ought to be able to, whatever the situation is, I don't care what you do, whether you lose your GPS and somebody steals it, you ought to be able to come against that and stand your ground until that thing's brought back. In fact, you know, it hadn't been long ago when Max right there was telling us about his wife. Now, this you would think an earring, a diamond earring, and it's got a little deal on it, you know, that clicks it so that, you know, so they'll stay in your ear and all that stuff. She lost hers. She lost a diamond earring or whatever it was, and the shower had been cleaned. She had went back in and took a shower in that herself. Max went in there to take a shower or something, and while he was in there, he felt something under his foot or something like that, and he reached down, and there was his wife. Of course, he had prayed. And there was his wife's diamond earring with the little clip on it, and it was fastened. So how did it get out of a closed ear and the little clip get back on it? And two people had been through the shower and cleaned it, and he prayed, and there it was on the floor, and he stepped on it and found her diamond earring. What? How does things like that happen? It happens because we pray in faith. That's the only reason. But those are the keys. Those are some of the keys to the kingdom that you and I have been given. And I'm telling you, I have decided, it's unfortunate, that my problem is I don't have enough faith. I mean, but I'm looking at y'all, and I'm going to say, you know, every one of y'all in the same boat with me. You know, every one of y'all. Yet I don't see nobody in here that's a violent, I mean, a speaker that everything they say is coming to pass. I used to almost be that way. I mean, there for a few years, as I was teaching faith and everything, I was in the Word. When I was studying the Word hours every day, my faith was mountain high. Those are the days, you know, whenever I could speak to the weather and command the weather to be clear, open between here and the airport, and to see a tunnel. I mean, I've seen that. Dave's been with me. He's seen that. We've seen God do these kind of things, you know, that whatever we say, in other words, if we stay close to God, stay in there and read the Word, but you got to read it, and you got to learn it, and you got to understand it, and you got to believe that here is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is the mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if when you yesterday asked a question at the healing school, I said, I want to see every hand in this place of every man that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt he is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And several of the men held up their hands. And I thought, you know, isn't this something? It says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Exactly what it says. So if you, and this is the way the enemy has done us now, all of us, me included, every one of us, unfortunately. We will read the Word, we'll study the Word, we'll believe the Word, And we'll get to a point where we think, okay, I got it. I'm a great man of faith. And then a young couple will come up here, and they'll be standing right here. True story. And they've been married about a year, and they have a year-old daughter, and she's got a hole in her heart. And the doctor says they're going to have surgery. I know the problem. I know what caused that. Did you notice anything wrong with any of the numbers that I quoted there? This couple has a year-old daughter, and this child has got a problem with his heart. But they've been married a year, but the child is a year old. Now, that don't compute. You know, the way mother told me how it's supposed to work, you're supposed to meet a girl. You're supposed to go on a few dates, you know, and then if you finally think this is the one you want, you ask her to marry you. And then after you marry her, then you get to go to bed with her. After you marry her. And so it should take, chances are that, you know, that first month or two you won't get pregnant because you can't get everything right because that cycle is there. So, you know, you might get a month or two or three before you get her pregnant. So you ought to have maybe about a year, and then maybe you get a baby. But, you know, if you got one in a year that's a year old, there's something wrong with these numbers. That means you must have been breaking God's rules before you started, right? And if God says in his word, he said, I will judge every act of sexual immorality. Every act. And nobody gets by with nothing. But this little girl, she didn't fit the criteria. So anyway, she's got a hole in her heart. And she's not doing too good. And so, of course, I asked the simple question. You know, did y'all have sex before you got married? And yes, they did. The child's born out of wedlock. And okay. So we got all that taken care of. I said, okay. Now then, that we know we got a problem here. I said, now then, my next question between you two is, God commanded us to do one thing. He only gave us in the church one commandment. We ain't got a whole list of them, do we, Max? We just got one. And what is it?
Love.
Love. You're supposed to love one another. And when you really break that down into husbands and wives, boy, you know, I mean, in Colossians and Timothy and a whole bunch of places, you know, 1st and 2nd Peter, all kinds of stuff where God talks about the husband and the wife. The husband has a tremendous position. I mean, God holds him responsible for everything. I mean, you girls really, y'all are off the hook. But that, to a certain degree, in some areas you are anyway. But, you know, but the man, God clearly, he didn't tell the woman this. He told the man, he said, you love that wife? You love that girl like Christ loved the church? Or I just won't answer your prayer, son. Did he say that?
Yes.
So then if he said that, do you think he meant that?
He meant it.
So if you're a man and you want to get your prayers answered, you got to love your wife. It may be difficult, right? I mean, there may be days that you're having a bad day or she's having a bad day, and what's a bad day is when both of you are having a bad day. If only one of you is having a bad day, you can kind of get by with this, but if both of you are having a bad day, chances are you may have a knockdown drag out, and hopefully not, but it's amazing. We got an owner's manual. It's got all these rules in it that tells us exactly how to live and how we don't believe. Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, today I'm hungry. I need something to eat. So I walked over to the fig tree, and he looked at the fig tree, and it had no figs on it. And so he looked at the fig tree, just leaves. And he looked at that tree, and he said, may you never bear fruit again. And that doesn't sound like that would make anything happen to the tree, does it?
No.
But it did.
Of course.
That tree died. And so the next day when the disciples come by, they said, Lord, look at the tree that you cursed. It has withered away. Jesus said, you know, I want to tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Not only can you do what I did to that tree, but you can look at that mountain over there. Now we're getting to the building, see? You can look at that mountain over there, and you can command that mountain to move from here to yonder, and if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you. I'm going to tell you a fact. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's very, very high. You tell a church-going person that statement I just quoted and say, you have power over the elements, and they will laugh at you. They think you're crazy. I mean, people don't believe this. This is the most powerful book in the universe, and we don't believe it. If we really believed that we could do what this book says we can do, whenever I pray for you, and of course I do this, Cheryl and I do this anyway, we've realized that, I think that's why we're getting such great results for prayer, is because they people can't see us. They do not know that Cheryl and I is laying back there in the bedroom with a computer on her lap and me answering the prayers for telling her what to type, and we pray a prayer of faith. They don't know what condition we are. They can, when they go by what we say, when we say, well, we've remitted your sins, and the Word of God says in John 20:23, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. So if they don't know that, and they think, my goodness gracious, if Pastor Thurman and his wife have just remitted my sins, and they have said John 20:23, and they turn over and says, whosoever sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. My goodness, I didn't know that, but it says it, so that must mean I'm forgiven. So see, we got them on a good place there. But you ask the average church member today, you ask the average church member, wherever you go to church, if you go to another church sometime, you ask them, John 20:23. In fact, put John 20:23 on the board in the NLT. It's easy in either the NLT, today I want that one scripture, John 20:23. I want it up there in the NLT, and I want you to see, what does that say, son?
It's on Mark 11.
Oh, okay. John 20:23.
If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven.
Okay, now wait a minute. Read that one more time.
If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven.
That couldn't be true.
But it is.
So why does the church, are y'all in agreement with me or disagreement with me that the average church member, I don't know where, if you go to another church and you say, all I got to do, if that person, I need her sins forgiven, I'm just going to walk over and lay my hands on her and say, you're forgiven. They say, who do you think you are, God? They say, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And that throws them for a loop.
Oh, yeah.
But you are God on this earth. He said so, didn't he? And that's why he said you can do the same things that I do, because you are. Why do we not believe these promises? When we read that, I remember 10 or 15 years ago, the first Sunday that I preached that message right there, John 20:23, I said, do you know that when you need to get somebody saved, that's free, first thing you need to do is get them to confess their sin. I said, and if they don't know what they are, then you just say, well, I forgive your sins because I can remit sins. I had people come back to me the next Sunday that went to another church on Sunday morning, and they came back that afternoon, and they come to me and said, Pastor, I never heard anything like what you did last Sunday, so I went and asked my pastor. As soon as I left here, I went and called him. So, I went to a church today, and a guy said that we could forgive sin. He said, that guy's crazy. Yeah, I had nobody, not one single person agreed with me that the Word of God means what it says. If I confess your sin, if I forgive your sin, what happens to them?
It's forgiven.
Is that what it says? That's kind of a mouthful, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And the reason it's a mouthful is, you know why it's a mouthful? Because we don't know who we are. We don't know we're sons of God. We don't know we're joint heirs with Christ. We don't know this is who we are. In other words, it clearly says there, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Now, of course, the other one, if we go back and put that in the King James, that's where I could easily understand how people could miss that. If you put it in the King James and put it back up there and read it again in the King James, what does it say now?
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted.
Okay, now you see now if you were to read it in that language, you might not understand what remitting means, right?
Right.
Lots of people would miss that and say, oh, well, I don't know what that means. So would that, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And so I don't know what that means. But so anyway, as you go past that and you don't know what it means, you just read right over it. And that's what people do. They don't know what the words mean. And so sometimes that's why I tell you, read the word in 3 or 4 or 5 translations. You know, don't just read it in one and say, okay, this is it. The King James is it. There ain't no other Bible that's worth a flip. You know, if you don't read the King James, you're going to die and go to hell. Okay? I mean, I've heard people say that. I've heard people write books, you know, that they've wrote books. If you use any translation besides the King James, you can't go to heaven. You're going to hell. Well, I disagree with you. I mean, there's a whole lot of people out there that never seen a Bible, and they're in heaven. Guarantee. It's believing in Jesus, and Jesus is the only one that'll be able to make that determination of who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It won't be you and me. That's for sure. But I do want to study that, and I want to know what he said. And if he says that if I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I will be saved. I want to do that then, don't you? Yeah, I do too. Lord, I thank you for dying on that cross for me. I thank you that I'm forgiven, and I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Now then, we can argue about all these other things, anything you want to in there, but I'm going to heaven because I'm going to obey you. Somebody said, well, you know, we're under grace anyway, so we can just do anything we want to. I said, well, I don't know about all that. I ain't too sure about that. I may be wrong. When I read that over, it says, if you live in adulterous affair, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That may be right, may not be wrong, but I ain't taking no chances.
Amen.
Guarantee, I ain't taking no chances, boys and girls. I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. I'm not going to argue about nothing, but you want to know, do the one thing that I do know, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe he died for my sins.
Amen.
And so that I do know, and I'm standing on that. And if there's anything different than that, it's amazing. But this book is the most, I guess these are the most overrated things ever. We say we believe the word, but we really don't. So anyway, when Cheryl and I are praying for these people, all kinds of people, I mean, we pray for them. I think about praying for people and writing down, you know, these scriptures that they're not able to talk to me and Cheryl. So they don't know. And some of the people, when I say we remit your sins, I'm going to tell you that I've had lots of people that have contacted me as a minister, and it happens around here every day. If you'll just have Pastor Thurman pray for me, I know I'll be healed. Why do they have that kind of faith in an old country boy? Really? You know what I mean? Don't we hear that a lot, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
We have people, when Miss Jackie, she answers the phones here a couple of days a week and helps us out in here, and she knows that there's people, but I gotta have Pastor Thurman pray for me. Nobody, I got to have him. I'm going to get healed. But I just like the woman from Lubbock that stood right here, that 70-year-old woman, has told me that day when she came up to be prayed for, and I said, what's wrong? She told me she had that tumor in her shoulder and a rotator cuff now out, and nothing worked. And she couldn't lift her arm but about that high. But she said, I know. I never forget this woman. When she walked up to me, she walked up to me just like this, and she said, but I know that when you touch me in his name, he's going to heal me. Does that woman have faith?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That woman had faith, and I'm thinking all the time when she's doing this, I'm thinking she's fixing to tap me right on the end of the nose. But I said, this woman has got faith. I said, she sounds to me like the little woman with the issue of blood. As she's dragging along through the dirt, she's saying, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, All I got to do is touch him. And I know when I touch him, I'm going to be healed. Well, that woman, I was the source of God for her on this earth. Because he lives in me. He lives in you. And by living in me, I am Jesus Christ to her. And so when she put that finger up and said, but I know, Pastor, when you touch me, I know when you touch me in his name, he's going to heal my arm and my shoulder. In Jesus' name, I know it. And so I said, wow, ma'am, you have great faith. And so I reached up and put my hand on her shoulder right here. And when I did, it's a great big old soft tumor underneath there, under her blouse. I said, wow, you do have a big old thing there. But I know, when you speak in his name, it's going to go away. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name. That's all I said. And that was it. It was over. I mean, that tumor that was under that shirt of hers instantly disappeared right in my hand.
Hallelujah.
It was not my faith. It was this woman's faith. I mean, she had faith. She had been listening to my CDs and DVDs at home for the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, she had listened and listened and listened. She had some of that stuff nearly memorized. You know, it's amazing how that she was believing the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. And she knew, I mean, not hope, she knew when I touched her in Jesus' name, she was going to get healed. And her arm, when that happened, just like Cheryl said, Cheryl was sitting right there. And that woman, as soon as I reached up and touched her and said, in the name of Jesus, that arm went just like that, right straight up right there. And she's just jumping around screaming, and her daughter standing behind her there, a woman about 50 years old. And she says, Mother, you can't do that. She said, turned around and said, but I told you that if you would take me to Dallas and let Thurman touch me in the name of Jesus, I knew Jesus would heal me because Jesus lives in him. And that's all she wanted to know. And I'm telling you that Jesus, and I thought to myself, you know, Lord, faith is the only thing standing between us and our miracle. We got to believe. But just like Jesus said, only believe. He's given you that awesome power, awesome authority of Mark 11:23. So, you know, whenever, for a couple of days, every time we'd go somewhere and come back, if Kim and Scott was here and Cheryl and them been together buying Christmas for all the kids and everything, every time I'm with them, Kim says, well, Pastor, let's go by and look at the building, look at the new building. I said, you really believe it? She said, well, yeah, we prayed. I'm expecting a new building to appear out there on the back.
I know what it looks like.
You know what it looks like and everything. Okay. But you know, that's not the normal. Most of us don't believe like this. You know, when you take these wonderful promises that God put on there, just like yesterday when we went over James 5:14, 15, 16, the prayer of faith for healing. You know, I mean, it clearly says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. You know, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the way I read that scripture, it's just like Mark 11:23, the way I read that scripture too. We have to believe that when we pray and stand on those words that they're done. So, you know, we don't believe it's not done because we think, just like I heard a pastor, in fact, he's a well-known guy. I won't use his name because... Well-known pastor and teacher of one of the seminaries in Dallas, Dallas Theological. I was listening to him one day, and he says, you know, there's all kinds of people talk about God doing healing and things like that today. They said, God don't do that anymore. Yeah, I mean, Dallas Theological Seminary professor. He said, God doesn't do those kind of things anymore. He says, the way you can tell if God does it, he said, if you pray for somebody and they get instantly healed, then God did it. He said, if they don't get instantly healed, God didn't do it. It's all hype. And I thought to myself, that poor boy don't know what I know. I may be a country boy. He may be a PhD. But I thought to myself, the majority of people that I have prayed for, the majority of them, I mean, now, the Kim, I didn't even pray for her. Now, you talk about how God can do something. I mean, she came to church with her husband one time. They wouldn't even come down the aisle. Wouldn't even come down for me to pray. And she was sitting back there in the back. And I didn't even get to pray for her. Didn't get to touch her, nothing. But God healed a back problem that had she's had for years. And for years now, you ain't had it no more, have you?
No pain.
Now, just think now. But yours was an instantaneous deal.
It was.
Yeah, but think about how many people that I prayed for that was not an instantaneous thing. You know, I mean, I just think about little Philip. You know, when I prayed over Philip and all those warts, you know, it took a while for those things to go away. Sometimes you pray, you get an answer instantly. Sometimes you pray, it takes a day, a week, or a month. When something happens, a lot of times, if you're not careful, you'll start declaring the enemy's work on you instead of the Lord's work. I mean, just like just then, when my throat got tickly and I needed a drink. If you're not careful, some people will say, wow, you need to do something to your throat. Well, that's probably true. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt. But if I prayed and you prayed and everybody in here prayed, what do you think God would do to my throat? He'd do something, wouldn't he? I remember one day that I was here and I got coughing. And I couldn't speak. I finally just give up and I turned around and Mike Bradley was sitting right over there with his wife. I said, Mike, will you just stand up right there where you are and pray for my throat before I can talk? He stood up and prayed a beautiful prayer for me. I said, thank you. And he sat down and I went back to teaching. And the rest of the service, I never had, it was beautiful. I mean, God healed my voice. It wasn't scratchy no more. It was everything. Of course, one of the ladies that's here, she comes quite often. Hadn't been here in a while, but anyway, she come up and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you that I've never been to a church where I saw so many demonstrations of the Spirit's powers. I have this church. She said, God shows up in this church. And, of course, she had a problem. You know, she fell down and broke a tooth, messed up her mouth one day, and she came to me and wanted to know what I thought I would do. I said, well, I would make sure I had repented of all sin, and I would pray every day, and I'd believe God's healed my mouth, and I would not have any surgery. I'd just let God take care of it. And to the best of my knowledge, that's what she did. You know, she says, you know, I saw the demonstration of the prayer of faith when Mike prayed for Thurman. And she said, she came up that day and just said, I just wanted to come up and say, you know, I saw God move here today. He was here today. Well, let me tell you what. God is here every day. Is he not?
Amen.
But when you're at home, when you're on the road home, Max, is he in the car with you? Yes. Sure, you can't get away from him. He's everywhere. If you're getting ready to go to bed, he's laying down to bed with you, isn't he, Miss Betty? You can't get away from him. Praise the Lord, you can't get away from him. But who wants to get away from God? Nobody. You want to be with him. What are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? What are we going to do to be able to believe these promises where we can get God to do great and mighty things? What do we need to do?
In fact,
one of my little daughters, little Jenny, she told me a while ago when we were coming in from outside, she walked up to me and put her arm around me, my shoulder, and said, Pastor, I don't know a single man that gives God more glory and speaks more in his name than you do.
Amen.
She said, you're always saying, praise the Lord. And all of you that know me, you know that's pretty well a standard verse I use, praise the Lord. You know, but he said in all things, praise the Lord, with thanksgiving, did he not? So if he told me to do that, then if I fall down and break my toe or fall down and break my shoulder or arm or do anything, what should I get up saying?
Praise the Lord.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus, and use the word, praise the Lord. But, you know, if you come to just get something from God and you're not planning to spend time with him, you're going to have a problem. You know, God, he wants you, and he wants to spend time with you. He wants you and your love walk with him, and that's what he wants. And if people that's not willing to do that, and there's some people come out here and get prayed for, and all they want is just to get healed, and then they go do their own thing. I've seen lots of people, you know, that come out here and they won't. I've had people that wouldn't even come in. I've had people come to the front door on healing school day and said, tell pastors, come out and pray for me. I said, yeah, I understand this is a healing school day. I need to be prayed for, but I got to go to Oklahoma to see my daughter, so I ain't got time to stay. I said, well, yeah, that's why you're not healed in the first place. You don't have any time for God. Who are you supposed to put first?
First.
Oh, your child?
The Lord.
Oh, you thank the Lord?
Always.
You think he really meant that, Ms. Jackie?
Yes, sir, he does.
You're to put me first, you're to have no other gods before me?
No.
That's right.
But we don't do that. Do you know anybody that does that? Do you really know anybody that can do that? I can't, you know. I can't. I try to praise him and worship him and love him and do all the good things but I still can't give him 100% all the time. But he does want me to be with him as much as possible. And if I want to get things from him and see him do good things for me, I've got to love him and worship him and praise him. I mean, that day that the Cheryl had the problem with her tooth, which most of you have heard before, some of you hadn't, but, I mean, you know, she went to the dentist because a tooth, a bridge, broke loose. And she went in there, and the doctor was going to take the bridge off and clean it and glue it back on, and he couldn't get it off. He tried and tried and hammered and beat on it, and she finally told him, she said, Doc, wait a minute, I've got to call my husband. I got to have him pray. And so you don't hear that very often. Most people don't get to that point, but Cheryl knows the power of prayer. And so she called. And so anyway, I prayed and she told me what the deal was. And I prayed and he went back to beating on her face there. And in a little while, you know, she called back. She told me, she said, honey, you got to pray again. It still didn't come loose. So I prayed again. And that afternoon, I saw her. After she got home, and I said, well, how'd it go? She said, he never did get it off. I said, what? I prayed twice. Now then, you know, you think God answered your prayer in two times, wouldn't you? But anyway, I was expecting it, but it didn't happen. But if you're not living in a state of expectation, you can forget it. You're not going to get much from God anyway. You got to be walking in faith. So anyway, Eldon and me went to get some furniture, and on the way back, he's asking me, he said, Thurman, God always answers your prayer for Cheryl. I said, yes, you're right. He always does. And all these years, I've never had a time when God didn't answer my prayer for my wife. And so he said, why do you think he didn't answer it this time? I said, I don't know. But obviously something I did. You know, anytime you don't get your prayer answered, you don't need to worry about looking at the guy down the street. You probably only need to look right here. You understand? Here's probably the problem right here. So anyway, I kept thinking, Lord, what in the world, what did I not do right or what did I do wrong or what? There's got to be something that you're not pleased with. So I need to know what I need to do to make that bridge come loose on Cheryl's mouth. And every time I'd say that, I'd hear a little tiny word in the background, praise. And just all I'd hear. Praise. Finally, after Eldon me was talking for a little while, I said, yeah, Eldon, I keep hearing this. Every time one of us make a statement like that, I hear this little word, praise. He said, well, that's it, Thurman. That's what it is. You're not praising the Lord. He said, he loves praise. I said, I know he does. He said, well, let's just start praising him. So I said, okay, Lord. We're driving down the road at night, you know, so I just threw him, Lord, I praise you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you now for taking that tooth loose on that bridge loose on Cheryl's mouth. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Lord. Eldon, he throws up his hands and puts his knee under the steering wheel and all that stuff. And we're driving about 60 miles an hour. And he's got his hands up in there and saying, Lord, we praise you and praise you for taking that bridge off in Jesus' name. We could drive along for 10 or 15 minutes and we're praising and worshiping. All of a sudden, my cell phone rings, and Cheryl says, honey, what in the world are you doing? Me and Eldon driving down the road praising him for taking that bridge off of your mouth. She said, I knew it. Said the thing just fell off in my mouth on the right drive right all by itself. So you see, we hadn't praised enough, right? Who would ever think that you didn't get, now you know what most of us do when that happens? We grumble and complain. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to praise you for taking that bridge off of there. Thank you, Lord, for I praise you. No, it ain't happening. You didn't understand, Thurman. You did that. You've been praising, but it ain't working. Well, then you say, well, doggone the lucky. I guess it's not God's plan for me to get my answer this time. But it is God's plan. And you just wasn't praising him enough. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I praise you and thank you. I will not grumble and complain about nothing, but I praise you, Lord. We need to learn to praise. But anyway, after that thing came off, we got back, and Cheryl showed it to me. It fell off in her mouth. To think that a dentist had been hammering and beating on this bridge and couldn't get it off, and then when we started praising and worshiping the Lord, the thing just came loose. Now, how does the resonant frequencies work of our praise? It gets all the way back to her mouth that causes that thing to loosen up whatever that bond is and turn that thing loose and that little thing fall into her mouth. How does that happen?
Only God.
Only God. That's exactly right. We don't understand all these things, do we? Not at all. But, I mean, God does and he knows. And when he says praise me, he means praise. And if you haven't tried that, there's no telling what you've missed. In fact, when Jenny says she didn't know anybody that praised God more than I do, he said, Papa T, you're always praising. In fact, one day Kathy, she was in her mail house, and I come through the mail, through the room. As I came through, I got almost all the way through, and I started to go out the outside, and I said, praise the Lord. Ain't nobody in there but me. I'm the only one. Kathy said, Pastor. I said, turn around and look. I said, oh, Kathy, I didn't know you were here. She said, I thought you were going to get all the way across the room and not say praise the Lord. I thought you were going to make it. She said, but then when you got to the corner, you said pray. I thought, wow, he almost went all the way across there without saying praise the Lord. Do you think my girls think I praise the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, you're known by your fruit, by your works, right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I wonder if we would all kind of make an agreement with the Lord. Lord, we want to praise you. You know, I mean, all time during the day, we want to just praise you, Lord. And as we go, when we get in our car and we start down the road, Lord, you're still with us, so we want to praise you. When we drive that pull out on the highway, we'll say, Lord, thank you for giving us a safe trip home. We praise you, Lord, for a safe trip home. And start practicing praising the Lord like I have been doing. It's become such a normal thing for me. I mean, I praise the Lord. I mean, it's just, I can't talk without praising the Lord. But, you know, I'm just thinking, if God is doing the things he's doing because we're praising him, I wonder what he would do for all of us if we as a corporate group would make a pact that, Lord, we're going to praise you more. Amen. This week, we're going to praise you. We're going to thank you. We're going to walk with you, Lord. We're going to thank you and praise you. We need to praise him, do we not? And so, and it doesn't need to be, this needs to be done out of love. Every time you think about it, when let the Lord touch you on the shoulder. When you're driving down the road, you know, just let him reach over and touch you on the shoulder and say, when you hear him say, Max, I love you. Say, yes, Lord, I praise you. You know what I mean, right?
Amen.
Because that's what he touches you for, to tell you that I love you, son. And say, Lord, I love you too, and I praise you, and I thank you. Then you'll be amazed one day, you know, as often. Just like that deal when you found your diamond earring for your wife, you know, how you had praised and all that stuff. And I got tickled at Max when he took the Psalm 91 cards and his family went to Europe. And, man, he prayed that Psalm 91 over his family every day. Because the place where his family went, there was some terrorists over there. In fact, only a day or two or three after they came back, they had a terrorist attack right where your wife walked.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so, but man, he prayed and praised the Lord and everything, and by praising the king and doing everything, he didn't have any problems at all. God, Psalm 91 come through just like it's supposed to, didn't it, Max?
Amen.
So that's the whole thing. You got to realize, you know, that we need this protection. And we have it available, and it's there because of praise. And if you haven't been using that praise in the Psalms, you need to go back and read the Psalms on a regular basis about how much God likes praise. I mean, he loves praise.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Let everything that has breath.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he says. You know, we need to learn to see why we're not getting things done. You know, I mean, I think the other day a young boy was asking me a question. He said, Pastor, it doesn't seem to make any difference what I do. I can never get ahead. I said, what do you do? And he told me what kind of work he did. But he said, I just can't prosper. I said, well, I said, are you a Christian? And he says, yeah. I said, do you go to church? He said, well, some. I said, well, that's a problem right there. I said, you're supposed to go to church and obey him, do everything he says. In fact, I said, let me tell you why I think you're not prospering. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the answers to everything is in God's word. Every answer you'll ever need to everything, you can find it in the answer in God's word. So I told him, I said, I'm going to read something here in Deuteronomy 28 for you. And it says, you must put me first. You must put no other gods before me. You must love me, must worship me, and you do everything I say. And if you'll do everything I say, I guarantee you will prosper. If you do not do this, you do not put me first, you will not prosper. I said, so you see what you got to do. You got to start putting God first. You got to start going to church all the time. You got to start tithing. You got to start blessing God. You got to start reading his word every day and obeying his word and walking in love with his word. And I said, if you do, he will prosper you. You know, he says, wow, when did you learn this secret? I said, well, a long time ago. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, it makes life fun when you don't have to worry about where you're going to have your money to pay your bills tomorrow.
Amen.
When you don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about where my money's coming from. You know, I worked hard. I was an engineer, and I worked hard and long hours out there for a long time. And as I worked and loved God and did what he said, and I obeyed him, and I went to church, and I tithed, and I did everything he told me to do, I mean, he took sickness away from me. He blessed me with a wife and children. He blessed me with land and a car and a pickup and a truck and all the tractors and anything that I wanted to have. He blessed me with it. Now, is that a good God?
Good.
Whatever. He says, if you'll serve me and love me and do what I say, then the desires of your heart, I will meet those. Whatever you want. Now, if you don't want nothing, you won't have nothing. But I don't know about you. I like to be able to know that I'm going to eat this afternoon. Yeah, and I sure got a hungry wife up here. Yeah. and a hungry dog. Yeah, we got a hungry dog. The dog likes to eat. Cheryl likes to eat. I like to eat all kinds of stuff. But I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to plead and beg for something. If I'm not able to meet my needs, then I'm not doing something according to God's word. Wow. When you stop and think, I just want to ask this question one more time. What do y'all think is necessary? Since we've seen so many answers to prayer. This little church, we have seen numerous answers to prayer. In fact, I would like to ask you a question for some of you that are here today. if you have received an answer to a prayer through one of the prayer teams or something here, if you've been prayed for and you or your children or anything else has been, the answer has been met and you or your children have been healed, would you hold up your hand? Look at the number of people. Look at the number of people that have been healed and answers to prayer. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Okay, so now then let's look at this a little deeper. Let's stop and think. First of all, as you go out from this church this week, I want you to be looking for ways to walk holy in obedience to God's word. Walk in love. Walk holy. Is that scriptural?
It is.
Yeah, in other words, anytime anybody asks you to do something, if it's not scriptural, don't do what it says. But if what they're asking you to do lines up with the word of God, then you better obey what it said. But if you'll do that and walk holy before the Lord, and then ask the Lord to start showing you people that have needs. I mean, as you go, say, Lord, here, wake up this morning and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm in a new world this morning. You're out here with me now. What are me and you today going to do today together and we get something done? What are we going to do, Lord? And then listen. I mean, lay there for a few minutes and you may hear him in a minute and say, well, let's get up and get your clothes on. Let's go. So you get up and get your clothes on and you go and you start doing something and you'll be amazed. Lord, use me today for your glory. I mean, just tell him, Lord, I want you to know I'm available. I can do anything. Whatever you want me to do today. And then get ready for anything. Because, you know, he'll do something like he did with the guy with the milk. You know, when the guy went, you know, out there and he says, I need you to use me today for your glory. He said, okay, no problem. So he went to this class on how to hear from God. And whenever he got out of the class, he's on the way home and he pick up and as he's driving down the road, he hears a voice say, you know, turn to the right down here at the grocery store and go in and get a gallon of milk. He said, what? Go in and get a gallon of milk? He said, Lord, I don't need a gallon of milk. Now see, this is when you're led by the Spirit, you need to obey God. I mean, you know, if God tells you, if you're driving down the road and he says, turn right at the next turn, don't even ask what the problem was. Just do it. So anyway, this young boy, he didn't have a clue why God spoke to him, so he didn't pull into the store. He just drove right on by. Well, he gets down there about a block or two, and the Lord says, I told you to turn in there and get a gallon of milk. He said, Lord, I don't need a gallon of milk. Well, you know, he might want to be doing something for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
You never think. And so anyway, he drove on a little further, and finally the Lord told him, said, are you going to obey? You said you want to hear from me. Now you want to do what I want to do, or you're not going to obey me? He said, well, Lord, I want to obey you. He said, well, then do what I say. He said, go back to the store and get a gallon of milk. Okay, so he goes back and gets a gallon of milk, starts down the road, and he said, can't believe I did this. Now, see, this is what we argue with God. It should never be like this. I mean, when you start being led by the Spirit, be ready to do what he tells you, and he will do great and wonderful things. If you'll only listen, he will answer you and show you great things. So anyway, this young boy got the gallon of milk, started back down the road, and then the Lord said, turn right at the next street. Lord, that's not even on the way home. How much arguing are we going to do here? You know, are we going to just obey God? Finally he said, okay, Lord, okay. So he turned right and he goes down a few blocks and then the Lord says, okay, pull over in the front of the apartment number 13 right there. He looked at his watch and he said, Lord, don't you know it's 11 o'clock at night? He said, I can't go up there. He said, go up there and knock on the door and tell them you have their milk. He said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this guy wants to be trained to be used. He's got a problem with disobedience. You agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, whenever God tells you, just like this girl, we got an email just last night or this morning, when it was, she said, I was driving down the road and the Lord told me to turn right and I didn't do it and I went on down where I normally turn and there was a car wreck and I got into an accident. What should I do? I said, you need to learn to obey, young lady. When the Spirit tells you to do something, you don't even ask questions. You just do what he says. So anyway, she said she would next time. But anyway, this boy got the gallon of milk. He went up there to number 13 and knocked on the door. And then He said a light came on. There was no light in the door. He said, when I knocked, there was a light. And I said, oh, my gosh, this guy, I can just see him now. I said, who are you, crazy? What are you doing out here? So he said, I started to run. And so I grabbed my milk, and I took a few steps, and the door opened. He said, yes, what can I help you? And he says, sir, I know you're going to think I'm completely crazy, but do you need a gallon of milk? He said, you're an answer to prayer. He said, we got a new baby, and we're out of milk, and I've been praying and praying, Lord, send me some milk to feed this baby. Now then, learn a lesson from that. If you want to be used of God for His glory, be ready to be led by the Spirit. When the Spirit of God speaks to you and tells you to do something, that should be a normal way of life for you and me. You know, I mean, when I was in the Baptist church all those years, I never heard from God like that. I didn't hear from Him very often. But now that I've started walking with Him, being led by the Spirit, I hear God talk to me all the time. You know, Cheryl does too. She hears from the Lord, you know. But you will hear from Him. If you'll just say, Lord, here am I. I'm your child. I want to be used for your glory today. Whatever you want to do, I want to do it. And if the Lord said, well, speak to that mountain right there and let it move from here to yonder. And if He does, just do it. You know, that's all we need to do is learn to obey. Because you talk about a bunch of disobedient children. We are a bunch of disobedient children. And if you want to learn to walk in obedience to His Word, quit being disobedient. Whenever He speaks to you, I mean, when you hear that little tiny voice, turn here. And I can think over there in Dallas one day, driving down the road 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I look up in the rearview mirror and there's an 18-wheeler barreling down on me, just coming in and out. But he's way back there. The Spirit says, pull over to the right, one lane. So I never even questioned it. I never said nothing to nobody. I just turned. I did look in the mirror and make sure there wasn't nobody right there. And then there was nobody there, so I just turned one lane to the right and just kept going. And all of a sudden, this 18-wheeler, he stayed right where he was. And he come right behind me, right up behind me there. We went over the hill, and when we went over the hill, everybody's stoplights were on. That's what I said, uh-oh. I slammed on the brakes. He went on by. And where I would have been in front of him, the guy that was in front of him, he got rear-ended by the truck, and that pushed him into the guy in front of him. So the guy that would have been me would have been crushed on both ends if I hadn't obeyed the Spirit. See, when you're driving down the freeway and you hear Him say, "Pull over to the lane, pull over to the right, one lane." Don't say, "Okay, God, I got to see." Okay, no, it's not the right time. I can't do it now. You know what's the deal here? Don't start arguing with God. Just obey Him. And when you start obeying Him and doing what He says, you're going to be amazed at the number of times God's going to use you for His glory. And you're going to think, I never got to see these kind of things before. But now that I've become an obedient son, He wants to use you if you'll just say, here am I, Lord, send me. You see what I'm talking about? This is the fun thing about being led by the Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit of God and you obey the Spirit of God and you obey what He says, you will get to see Him do some awesome things in your life and a lot of other people's life. Amen.
Amen.
So I think we need to work on the promises, because those promises, this book is full of promises that are yes and amen. Is that right? Amen. So before we go home today, I mean, when it comes time for prayer up there, if you need prayer for anything, one of these prayer warriors, and I need my prayer warriors to stand up so you'll know who they are. And all these people that pray, and we got some more back here in the back somewhere.
Yeah. Right,
do what, sir?
Well, I came in here a while ago. I came up there and knew Cheryl was standing there. I told you about my wreck. Can y'all pray for me? The pain in my knee is gone. The limp I walked in with is gone. I pulled the trace off to make sure this happened just now.
Amen. Now see, is that the kind of things we love to see Jesus do?
Amen.
I love to be in a place where Jesus shows up.
Amen.
Don't you, brother?
Yes.
Amen. And it doesn't it make you feel wonderful?
I'm blessed.
You're blessed just to get to know Jesus, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Listen to the Spirit, right?
Amen.
That's all he wants you to do is listen to the Spirit of God and learn and do what he says. Praise the Lord. I love it. Wow. Okay, praise the Lord. Father, y'all stand up. We're going to dismiss with the word of God and prayer, and then you can go to one of these prayer warriors if you want to, if you need something. And like I say, if you don't need anything, then when you leave here today, leave here planning to listen to the Spirit of the living God today, and that he's going to train you and use you this week, and be ready to see him do great and mighty things. Because when we get to the point where we can just say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me, that's when he'll use you for some of the biggest, most powerful things you've ever seen in your life. But he don't like to send an argument person out there. He wants you just to be willing to say, yes, Lord, send me. I will do it. I don't care what you ask me to do. I'll do it. So, Father, thank you for this group of people today, and thank you for their love for you, and thank you for the miracles you do. Thank you for the healings you do for the people you touch. We are so grateful that you're the mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that you are a God that we can love and trust. And we thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus for being the mighty God that we love. And, Lord, we do praise you. We worship you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are dismissed. Praise the Lord.